Open your Bibles to such a familiar passage. We'll start there, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's start there. Keep your Bibles open. The message will build through some passages of Scripture that are here on this topic. John chapter 3. Verse 16, for God so loved the world. Have you taken a look at the world lately? Can you imagine God said that He loved the world? But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He only had one to give, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what are the next three words? Look at it and say it with me. Have everlasting life. You know, we know this verse of Scripture so well that you can say it by memory without even having a thought about what you're saying. Some of you know the song we just sang, How Great Thou Art, so well that you can actually sing the words from memory without even thinking about what you're singing. You could actually be thinking about somebody else, something else, and be saying the words because you're so familiar with the song. But this is one of those verses that a lot of people who don't even have everlasting life can quote because they've heard it. They learned when they were younger. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to ask you a question. How many of you today know beyond the shadow of a doubt that right now you have everlasting life? Raise your hand. Okay, if you couldn't raise your hand, I couldn't see you. There's so many hands went up, and I expected that. But you know, there are people here today in the crowd this size, more than likely, they don't have everlasting life. Or maybe they do, but they don't know whether they do, or they think they do, but they're not sure they do, or they prayed a little prayer when they were a kid. Or you know what I'm talking about? Everlasting life, when you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, is a current possession. You have it now. See, I grew up in a religion, and the focus of that religion is you've got to be in church, you have to take communion, you have to go to confession, you have to do these things and keep doing these things every week. And if you die in the state of grace, then hopefully you'll be able to go to heaven. And so the benefit of everlasting life was a distant reward for a life well lived according to the doctrine of that religion until such time as I died. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you grew up in a similar religion. And so there was always this, I hope that I go to heaven when I die. I'm doing the best that I can. And I'm keeping the commandments of God. I'm nice to my fellow man. You know, all those things. I hadn't killed anybody. I hadn't stolen anything. Not much anyway. Yeah, I never told a lie, or I'm not lying right now too much. I never will forget. We were having a conversation with a woman and her niece, her 14-year-old niece. They were drying the car they just washed out in front of the house, having a conversation about the Lord. And I said, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I said, I'll tell you one thing I know about every human being. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Everybody's lied. And that mother, that aunt looked up at me. She goes, I hadn't lied. And that niece just started laughing. She put that rag down. She said, you're lying right now. Kids, man. I remember one time there was this woman, and we were seeing her, and her 9-year-old child was on a skateboard. She had a great big driveway with some undulation. He's riding up and down, and he knows two of us, and we're talking to her about things of the Lord. And she said, I'll have you know I've been a member in good standing at such and such a Baptist church, and I sing in the choir, and she's just running out the thing, you know. And that kid comes screeching down that driveway like that and just slides that skateboard, and I mean just right in front of us. And he put his hands on his hips like she had her hands on her hips. And 9 years old. He said, yeah. And she S-M-O-K-E-S too. She said, get in the car. We got to go get groceries. You see, it's always about what I'm doing or what I'm not doing when people start having this conversation about everlasting life. And it really is not about either one of those. It's not about what you're doing or what you're not doing. It's about what Jesus did. Like the song, Hallelujah, It's Done. Hallelujah, It's Done. It's what he did, and whether or not you believe that what he did for you is sufficient to save your soul, or whether you're going to go on living, hoping at the end of your life that you get to go to heaven. I want to tell you something. When I realized the truth of the verse I just quoted to you and that you just read with me, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it when I first got saved. But I am, and you are, if you raised your hand and you know you have everlasting life, you are the current possessor of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to cash in or begin to enjoy the everlasting life you now possess. You're not worried about merit badges where you have somehow or another appeased God sufficiently that he's willing to let you spend eternity within heaven. He's willing for heaven to be in you, and you can begin to enjoy eternity now. It's yours. You possess it if you have it. Now, if you don't have it, or you don't know you have it, you got a serious problem. And you got a serious problem for two reasons. One, you hope you go to heaven, but without everlasting life, you can't go there. There's only two places, heaven or hell, and you don't know the time of your departure. If you're young and you're healthy, you think it's a long way from now, kind of like how that's how I feel. Paying attention. It's a long way from now. But the truth of the matter is, with strange diseases and accidents and all that, you really don't know. That's one problem. The other problem is you don't know, and you may not have everlasting life. And if you don't, you don't spend an eternity with God. You don't get sort of a judgment like, oh, if I'd have known that, I would have done that. I didn't know that, so I didn't do that. None of that's available to you. You know now, and you have heard, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right? So if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you accept his death for your sins, his burial to put them away, and his resurrection to justify you, he gives you everlasting life right now. And that's why many of us could raise our hands with great assurance and say, yes, I know I have everlasting life. You've got it right now. So if you don't know that you have everlasting life right now, you have a very serious problem. And I want to say to you, you should take care of that right now. You should take care of that. You say, yeah, but preacher, that's a decision. Let me put it in perspective for you, okay? If you started feeling bad, and you had an appointment with your doctor, and you go to your doctor, let's say Monday, you go tomorrow to your doctor, and your doctor says to you, sir, you have a very aggressive cancer, and right now it is at a stage that if we begin immediately with chemotherapy and immunotherapy and other remedies that we have a very good chance of putting this in remission so that it doesn't metastasize and spread to the rest of your body. And I know what you would say. I know what you say. You know what? I need some time to think about that, Doc. I'm not really sure I want to go down that road. And then you go home and you turn the football game on Monday night. You know, you watch that and go back to work on Tuesday. Put it off as if it was no big deal. And you wait around not feeling really good. But, you know, it's kind of like, whatever, I can get to that. It's only stage one. I got plenty of time. And my next appointment is 6 months from now. We'll see how it's going. You wouldn't do that. That doctor told you it was stage one. If we get on it right now, we got a good chance of putting this in remission and getting that out of your body. You would ask him, can we start tonight? Come on, be serious. You would not put that off. Why? Because it's aggressive and it's imminent death. And you don't want to die. So the preacher comes along like I am today and he says to you, you know something? If you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could have everlasting life right now and begin to live it, and you could go to heaven when you die. And you know what? I know what you say. Oh, that's very interesting, preacher. Give me some time to think about it. And there are people I know that have taken years to keep thinking about that. Now, why would you put off a decision for everlasting life when you wouldn't put off a decision for temporal life? That does not make sense to me. Does it make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to you. So when I say to you, this is something that you should take care of today, I mean you should be as urgent with this decision as you would be with the doctor's decision concerning cancer. You say, well, I need some I want to understand it better. Fine. You have an appointment with me at 12:05 in my office. Just like you have a doctor's appointment. Really? Yeah. If, Lord willing, we wrap this up by 12:05, I'm going back to my office and you just come right in there with me. We open up the Bible and you get to see for yourself the salvation therapy that God has for your soul. And you can get saved. You should. If you could not raise your hand when I ask this crowd, do you know 100% sure you have everlasting life? I have you on my calendar. I don't know who you are, but I have you on my calendar. And don't be late for your appointment. Right? Don't be late for your appointment. Because there may be other people that need to have an appointment today as well. And if so, we have other doctors in the house. They can help you. Come on now. Come on. This is not something to be neglected. It's urgent. Okay. With that said, I would say this. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have everlasting life. Then why are some of you, and I'm not pointing you out by name, because I'm not calling you out, because I don't know specifically who you are, but why are some of you living it like this is a religion now and you don't get to start enjoying that till you die? That's the religious view. And that's man's view, and that's not a good view. You have everlasting life now when you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He intends for you to live it now and to benefit from it now and to enjoy it now, not later. It's like life out there is what I live, and I just come to church because I know it's the right thing to do and get a little bit of a boost from your preaching so I can go back there and live life right now. I want to tell you something. I do not want to live 167 hours of a week out there in temporal life and 1 hour of everlasting life with like a shot in the arm down here. Like you come in here to get a spiritual B12 shot to make it through another week. But some of you live life like that. And I say to myself, that's not what God intended at all. That's not what He intended at all. He intended for you to begin to enjoy it all right now. And my question to you is, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Why isn't walking with Jesus and loving Jesus and being filled with His Spirit something that is of interest to you now? What is it that's going on in this world that is so much more important to you than walking with Jesus Christ and living eternal life? I know what it was for me. It was a career. I know what it was for me. It was sinful pleasure. I already know that. And one day the Lord took me to a place I'm going to take you, and He said, you know what? You got a better option and you're not even You're not even tapping into that. Let me show you that better option. It's in Romans chapter 6. How many of you like roller coasters? Yeah, some of you. Yeah, some of you are still turning, so you didn't have to. How many of you like roller coasters? Boy, isn't that fun? You get in that roller coaster car, and they're like, oh, man, I know. While I was waiting in line, I saw that guy right there. Oh, man, this is going. And whoa. And that thing's going up, going down, turning upside down, doing a loop-de-loop. I used to like roller coasters until, I know this is disgusting, but it had one of those big flips in it like that. And the guy in the car up there, but yeah, he did. He really did. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. He really did. I was like, bleh. I don't like those roller coasters anymore. You know, a roller coaster ride is intended to last about, what, 3 or 4 minutes? And then you get off. But I'm telling you what, man, there are people that are living life on a roller coaster ride and you never get off. Or you're living like a merry-go-round and it's the same stupid round and around and around and around all the time. Merry-go-round is good for a little while, but you're not supposed to live on one of those things, right? Or a roller coaster. And so what happened to me is that my life was a roller coaster and it was a merry-go-round, and I was like, this is not merry anymore, and this roller coaster is not fun anymore. I want to get off, but I didn't know how until I got to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I want you to learn a doctrine, and then I want you to learn an application. Verse 1, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's a good question. Some of you today are dealing with sin in your life, and it is limiting your ability to enjoy the eternal life that you now have. You give me a little, yes, sir, preacher. Amen. Listen, today, I know I'm preaching, but today we're having a bit of a conversation, okay? I'll talk to you. You talk back to me. All right? There, you know in your life, as I did, that sin sucks that air out of, right? The enjoyment of eternal life, correct? And it was doing that to me. And he says, should we? But we know God's grace is there because he always forgives us. And so he asked the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, no, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What? What do you mean dead to sin? This thing is alive and well in me. And now he gives you the doctrine. Here it is. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I read that quickly, but here's what's going on. The day you got saved, you don't even realize this happened to you. And if you're not saved, this hasn't happened to you, but it will when you get saved. The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God did something in you that you didn't feel, you didn't see, you really didn't experience sensibly, but he did it. And Paul is telling you what he did. The day that you got saved, the Holy Spirit put you on the cross with Jesus Christ so you could die with him. So all that sin that's in you that compels you to do things that you know God doesn't want you to do, he's already crucified it with Christ. And then Christ was buried, he buried you with Christ. And then Christ rose from the dead and he's given you a new man. He's given you a new person inside of you so that person could rise up and go forward with new life and let the old man be dead. Okay? But here's the problem. That's the doctrine. That's what happened. So Christ died on the cross the day you got saved. Then the Holy Spirit took you to where Christ was, and you got crucified with him. He died, now you die in him. See, I didn't feel that. Thank God the suffering was on him, not you. And then he buried him, so you get buried, and then Christ rose from the dead. Woo-hoo, you get up. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So here's this old guy that if you had kept doing what he wanted you to do, you would have wound up in hell with all of its sin. He said, no, we stuck all that on the cross and I've given you a new life. Here's the deal. You have no clue how to live that life. You're an infant. It's like a baby. So here you are in this brand new life. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go back and try to keep doing what the old man said, dude, I got to get somebody I think I can handle. David, come here real quick. Put your Bible down. Get over here. 5, 4, 3, 2. Thank you. Stand right here. Here's Bevan's welder before he got saved. I wasn't this good looking. I wasn't this handsome. Okay? And here's Bevan's welder, the saved man. Now I want you to be careful. Grab me around the neck. Okay?
Man, this Christian life is for the birds. I don't know why not. How do people say this is enjoyable? Because I keep dragging this old sinful creature. You're not a sinful creature, but I mean, you make a good illustration. How you doing in Jesus? Oh, happy, man. Happy. Glory to God. Yeah, things are good. You ready to go? Yeah. And you know, the old man is like, come on, we're going to go do this. We're going to go do this. And I'm like, I don't think I should be here. So, you know, you go ahead and you commit the sin the old man wants to commit. And then you're like, God, I feel so guilty. I feel so trashy. What the heck are you doing, man? You're supposed to be dead. Yeah. And everywhere I go, I'm dragging this corpse around with me. And some of you guys are living your Christian life. Thank you very much.
You're the man. But you old man. You dead, sucker. Dead. You understand me? And you can't do that. That life is misery. How we doing? That life is misery. You say, how do you know that? I lived like that. For a long time, constantly guilty, ashamed of the sin that I committed, knowing I shouldn't have done it, didn't know how I was going to do it, but I kept trying to drag that guy around with me, right? And the Lord's just like, let it go. Let that go and learn how to live the eternal life you now possess. Okay, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's true. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon. Paul is a southerner, sure enough. Right? Reckon. Yonder. You all. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. So I don't know what your vice is. Maybe let's say that your vice is. I hate to mention any of them, you know, because then it's like, oh, he didn't mention mine, so I'm off the hook. And I don't want to put disgusting thoughts into your mind, but I mean, y'all all know what sin is, and you know what your sin is. You know what it is. And so let's say this is it, whatever this is, whether you smoke it, drink it, eat it, watch it, read it, carry it, whatever it is, here it is. And you get up in the morning and it's over here going, it's pulling on you. It's pulling. You know, sin does that. It's pulling on you. It was your master. You were its slave. You were doing what it said. And it says you need to, you know, smoke, drink, eat, see, watch, say this. And he said, dead. You turn over here to God, whom you can't see. You can't touch. You can't feel. Can't smell. But he's here, just like that's here. But even more so, because that's dead and he's alive. Here it is. And he says, yield to me. You're like, yeah, but that's calling me. It's okay. I killed it. Killed it. I'm alive. Be alive with me. What do I do? Yield to me. Yield to me. That's what God would say. yield to me. Just yield to me. Don't yield to that. Okay. What do I do? Well, you know, it takes what you're hearing right now, preaching, because you're learning something, some of you that you never knew before. You already have said, well, I'll read this. Yeah, but I want to watch that. That's what's tugging on me. Yeah, but I don't want you to see that anymore. It's very sinful. It's not good for you. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I want you to look at this. Yeah, well, this is hard to understand. Don't worry, I'll teach you. Get your head in here. Okay? Yield to me. Okay? And he says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Verse 13. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And just like anything else that you never knew before, the physics that you learned when you were in school, or the math, or the literature, or the language, or whatever it was, you have to study. You go in here and you start reading, and you're like, you know what? This is right. God likes this, and this is where God wants me to go. Look how much further I am from what used to hold me than I was when I got started. Do you see it? It's back there. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? Verse 15, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of God, of obedience unto righteousness? I'll tell you what happens. It happens every time, David. It happens every time when young men grow up in church and they finally get to be college age, that you're faced with a temptation. You don't have to make this choice. You're faced with a temptation. Right, Miranda? You're faced with a temptation. And the temptation is this. No more Tony. No more Pastor Welder. No more got to go to church on Sunday morning. Woo-hoo! Going to the beach on Sunday. No more of this. Yeah, we all face it. You're like, woohoo, free at last. The Bible says, free from righteousness. And you go into that world that you've been envying, that all your friends who still haven't come to the Lord seem to be enjoying. You're like, woohoo, going out there to have myself some fun. What you don't realize is you have just become the servant of sin. You're going to have a master either way. I mean, it's just like those kids that grow up in a house with a very domineering father and they turn 18 and said, what are you going to do? I'm joining the military. Why? I'm sick and tired of people telling me what to do. Yeah. Okay. Going to go see the world. Yeah, you got a boss. Boy, you got a boss. And when you go out there to enjoy that sinful pleasure, I'm telling you, sin will not allow you to enjoy that sinful pleasure without paying a price. The wages of sin is death. You'll pay that price. So you're going to be a servant to one or the other. Now you get to, as a Christian, choose whether you're going to serve sin unto death or whether you're going to serve God and righteousness unto life eternal. I made the choice years back. You know what? It's not that I'm sinless. We're always challenged with those choices every day. But I'm not serving over here anymore. I'm serving God. What I didn't realize, and I can hardly even put in words to describe for you, is the pleasures of what I'm getting out of the joy of eternal life so far exceed the sinful pleasures. They're not even in the same league. This is T-ball, sin is, and this is major league, eternal life. I'll tell you, this is phenomenal to be able to actually get on your knees and pray and wake up. Oh, Lord. Like the disciples, you know, they're with the Lord, and he says, pray with me 1 hour, and they're like, okay. You've all experienced, you spend any time in prayer with the Lord, you get up from that, and you got more joy, more peace, more love than you've ever experienced in an earthly relationship. You, right? Yeah, 100%. You say, I want joy. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's like patience. I had none. Gentleness, none. Goodness, are you kidding me? I have no idea to this day what it was that Ann Welder saw in me and said, I want to marry that. I'm like, what were you thinking? Yeah, you heard it right out of her own lips. Meekness, faith, temperance. I had none of that. And now I have a lot of it. And it all came from the Spirit of God. Don't you love the love of God? Don't you love that joy, that peace? The whole world can be rocking. And with Christ in here, the Spirit in here, you're at peace. It's like, let them worry. I have nothing to worry about. Not with Him. It's amazing. And all those other qualities that I didn't have, so angry, so impatient, so not good, so bad, all that's changed. The Lord did all that. It's a makeover. It's a new life. And I love this new life so much more than the old life that I have. I look back on the old life and I'm like, what was it that you saw in that compelled you to want to go be in that bar, or in that place, or at that party, or in front of that movie? What was it? Because now it's disgusting. You know what it is? It's just like that roller coaster ride when the kid lost it. It's just like that. It's detestable. And it's not religious. I didn't come by this by practicing my faith. I did it by simply yielding to God and following Him. Right, brother? Just follow Him. And all of a sudden, the things that you get to enjoy in life are so magnificently better. Verse 17 says, but God be thanked, you were the servants of sin. I was. I did everything sin said. You were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You're going to serve one or the other. I want to tell you something. Righteousness is a whole lot better master than sin. Amen? So much better. If somebody said to you, I can put your cancer in remission, but it's still going to aggravate you. It's still going to be painful. It's still going to bother you because it's there. But we can slow the spread of that cancer. So that's one option we have. Or we can do a little surgery here. It'll be painful for a little bit, but we can get the cancer completed out of your body, and you won't have any more pain, and you won't have any more evidence of it, and you don't have to worry every day that it might come back. Which option do you want? Come on. We're having a conversation here. You want it gone, right? Get it out of here. Be done with it. Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of Christians that are living with sin in remission so they can keep it in the pocket and go get some whenever they want and then just ask God for forgiveness and all that other stuff and then go back and do the Christian life a little bit. I want it gone. And I said, Lord, out. No more of that. And I'm telling you, there are things that used to be in my life. Like, I'm not sinless, okay? I don't mean that. But there are some of those things that sin used to compel me to do that are not happening anymore, and they're not going to happen. You know why? He took them out of there. They're gone now. You're nodding your head. You know what I'm talking about, right? They're gone. And so why wouldn't you want to live with serving righteousness and all the enjoyment that comes from serving God and be done with this stinker once and for all? I got off of sin's roller coaster and sin's merry-go-round. I found out it wasn't merry. You don't need to live there. Being made free, verse 18 said, from sin you became the servants of righteousness. But in order to continue to be free from sin, you just keep serving righteousness. Look at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. What is he saying? When you're living to iniquity, sin introduces you to a certain level of iniquity, and you're like, oh, that's fun. And he introduces you to a little bit, you don't realize you're going down. To a little more iniquity, you say, well, that's fun. That's even funner than that was. And then he said, well, that's really fun. And then all of a sudden, it's not fun anymore. And then you're like, oh, my God, this thing is like, it won't let me go. I want to go back where it was fun like that. Anne's father, her biological father, Harry Shirley, was that kind of man. He got saved when he was in church like we are today. He got saved. His mother, Bobby Lee Shirley, told me, yeah, he got saved. He did. When I met him, he was about down here. He was a small man, about 5'6", built slighter than I am, so he was a little man with a great big attitude. Drove the biggest Mark IV they made, coupe with doors about the size of, you know, those doors back there. One door, brr. Little man, great big car, little man, get out of there. Like, what is that? Big attitude. He liked to smoke and liked to drink. We went out to, you know, talk about our courtship and eventual marriage and all that kind of stuff. Along came Corinne, our now 41-year-old daughter. He drove down from Houston to see us. We had breakfast at Ramsey's in Victoria while they're in the Detour Hospital. And I'm smelling something at the table that smells like something I've never smelled before. It's abhorrent. It's just like, what am I smelling? He was dying. I was smelling death inside of his body, 53 years old. Called us from the hospital about a week and a half later. He's in ICU. We went up to see him. He was yellow as that flower. Jaundice. Died in a week. 53 years old. You know what happened? He got so far. Sin had a hold. I'm thinking to myself, you got saved when you were in high school. You could have served righteousness and had all of this that we have today. And the enjoyment of your grandchildren for years to come. But sin. Sin. Had a big attitude, a great big car, successful engineer. But sin got you, pulled you down, killed you dead. Sin always does. Righteousness, sin kills you. Righteousness gives you life and gives you more. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, I'm 71 years old and it's getting better. It gets better every day, every week, every year. It just gets better and better and better. I'm thinking if it gets much better, I'm going to pop. Jesus would have to come. I'm serious. I'm not lying. I'm just telling you. I've had both. I've done both. That, you know, I was 32 years old when all this started turning around. You can do a lot of bad things up to the time you're 32 years old. I had all that. All of that. And I look back on it now and it's just like disgusting. But you know what? I had to change masters. I had to serve righteousness in order to have what I have today. It's not just like a free ride. Whoa. People today, when they go to church, they want to be entertained. They want to have a concert. They want to feel good, go up and down, you know, get that big dose like a shot and then go back. I don't think that's what he intended. I think he wants this 168 hours a week to just build and grow and enjoy and walk and hear and pray and see God answer prayers and righteousness, see, right, iniquity unto iniquity, or righteousness unto holiness. I am not the man that I was 40 years ago. Not in any way, shape, or form. You look at those two and you say, yep, older and uglier. No, I don't mean that. I'm not talking about the picture. I'm talking about the man. This is a total, absolute redo. See, some of you have grown up in church and you don't know what I'm talking about with what sin can do to you. May I tell you something? You don't have to step off into it to find out. Am I right, anybody? You don't have to go down there. I love what one of the preachers said when we were in Seattle. His dad was a horrible drunk and miserable up until the time he got saved. He described it for us. It was unbelievable. It was so bad. And he said this. Son, this is what his father said, because the preacher grew up in a Christian home. He said, son, God saved me out of a life of sin. He saved you from a life of sin. You don't have to get off into this to find out that what I'm telling you is what you don't want to do. You serve righteousness unto holiness, and you got a big time head start on any of us that started off on the wrong foot. I'm telling you, it's the way to go. Verse 20, When you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. That's what I'm saying. Kids, you're here in righteousness and you get out, you're like, woohoo, free from that. I don't have to listen to that preacher anymore. You're serving sin. You just don't realize it. You're free from righteousness. But verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? I look at all those things that I did in sin. There is no fruit. There's regret. There's sadness. But there's no fruit. For the end of those things is death. Sin always leads to death. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. In the end, what? Everlasting life. What you started with, you end with. Everlasting life. You start with sin, you end with death. You start with everlasting life. The day you get saved, you end with everlasting life. But it's fruitful. Folks, there are people all over this world, the places we've been, that are saved now because I was able to go there and preach. And because we're supporting missionaries there that are leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. My sister called me one day, and her son was on some sort of a tour thing, and something bad happened, and he ended up in the hospital in South Africa, in Cape Town. My sister called me, and she said, he's in the hospital in Cape Town. And I thought I might call you. I said, you need me to pray? She said, no, I need you to contact one of your friends in South Africa. They can go see him. You know people all over the world. And that evening, she was talking to her son using the cell phone of one of our friends in Cape Town. So what is that? I didn't have any of that when I was in sin, right? What do you say? I'm not boasting on me. I'm boasting on God. None of these things were available. I was heading into a hole. Now I'm heading into heaven and life and souls and joy and a wife. Oh, 45 years, and it's blissful. Maybe not for her, but it is for me. Marriage and this what we the direction we were heading was not good. Boys, we're heading in a good direction now. All of that God did, but I had to serve Him. You have to make a choice. Am I going to serve sin or am I going to serve God? There's no neutral in this. You don't get to go the middle of the road. A lot of Christians in here are trying to live it in the middle of the road. I want to dabble in sin a little bit over here, and I'll go over here to go to church, feel a little better about that, and dabble in sin. Sin is going to kill you. It's going to kill you. You're going to die. Why would you want to do that when you can have everlasting life and live it? Just say, you know what? I'm done with y'all. Y'all the bad guys. Not you. But some of them. No. I'm not going to live with that. I'm going to go over here with everlasting life. I'm going to serve God, get around God's people, and I'm going to enjoy my life this side of eternity. And looking forward to Jesus coming. It's going to be a happy day. You get that choice. You get that choice. You get two choices. If you're already saved, you get to make a choice today whether you're going to serve sin, keep serving sin, or you're going to start serving God and get in on all this eternal, everlasting life we have right now. You get to make that choice today. And if you couldn't raise your hand at the beginning of this and say you have everlasting life, you get to make a choice whether you're going to turn it down and go your way or get saved and start off on a new life. You get to choose. And I hope in both cases, you make the right choice.